Welcome back to the Pretty Vulgar Podcast. I'm Elizabeth, here with Jillian, and we're on our fourth episode, which is pretty exciting for us.
Woo!
Yeah. So, we got more rating on the iTunes with 5 stars.
On the iTunes?
On the iTunes. It's like saying the marijuana. The iTunes. iTunes. For our podcast, which is super exciting, and we really appreciate those people who are rating us and subscribing, so keep that up, guys.
Yay! So, there's a lot to go over here.
There's a lot.
It's been a busy week, so we're just gonna go right into it. The beginning of this week, Jay-Z launched his 444 album. It's kind of his answer to Lemonade.
Yeah.
In which he admits that he did, in fact, cheat, and that is, in fact, why Solange beat him in the elevator.
Which, good for you, sister, because I'm not saying sister, like, you know what I mean? I'm saying, like, sister to Beyonce, like, you're being a good sister.
Soul sister.
Yeah.
Like, girl power.
Good for you to, like, stand up for your sister like that. I mean, come on. Why is he cheating on Beyonce?
I mean, that's a damn good question.
She is beautiful. She's talented. She's successful. I'm assuming she's a good mother to your child that you share with her. So,
well, because they added two more, which allegedly are Rumi and Sir. In case you were wondering, Rumi and Sir Carter will be roaming the streets with Blue Ivy.
I mean, sounds like something out of, like, West Side Story or something.
It's their gang names.
Yeah. It's very interesting. But I'm really sad that he cheated on her. I just find it gross and
it
weird.
It seems like for no reason. Like, I don't understand. And I guess some of the lyrics point to the fact that fatherhood is what changed him when he became a father to Blue Ivy, is when he realized that he probably shouldn't be such a douchebag.
So he was cheating on Beyonce the whole time before he had a child?
That's kind of what I'm taking from this. I mean, I can't, you know, say whether or not that's true or not, but that's kind of what I'm getting, is that fatherhood changed it and he realized he had to be a good, you know, husband to be a good father and blah, blah, blah. And probably having a daughter specifically helped that, because he was like, I don't want anyone to treat my daughter like I treat all these women.
Well, and I have another question. Why is Beyonce putting up with that shit?
I mean, that is also a very good question, because, like, she's Beyonce.
That's what I'm saying. She portrays herself to be this strong, powerful woman. I mean, fucking Miss Independence out there before Jay-Z. So why is she accepting of this cheating behavior? I want to know.
I mean, it's a great question, and I don't know.
Beyonce,
I mean, I think
can you please let us know? Get in contact with us.
I think she's just probably trying to do what's best for her children. I mean, her child at the time. I don't know why you go on and have more children with that individual.
Exactly. And you put that on blast so your daughter one day can go and listen to this music and be like, oh, this is my mom being devastated by my dad's affair.
Oh, and look, and here's where my dad admitted to it.
Yeah, like, that's weird, and I wouldn't want that for my children.
It's strange choices. They're artists, as we like to say. So, you know, they can make these kind of decisions and also name their kids Blue Ivy, Rumi, and Sir and get away with it. So, I mean,
at least it's not Apple.
I don't know. Sir is pretty bad. And is Sir going to hang out with North and Saint? Like, I'm very confused. These are words. Someone opened a dictionary. They just, like, fucking took a Ouija board. They were like, tell me what word I should name my child after.
It's so true. It's ridiculous. Let's get back to real names.
Yes. But speaking of North and Saint, Kanye West was called out on the 444 album as, you know, kind of being crazy, essentially, is the bottom line.
Poor Kanye.
Kanye proceeded to quit Tidal. Tidal, for those of you who don't know, is the streaming service that Jay-Z created, which, who uses? I don't know. If you use Tidal, let us know, because I don't. I don't know anyone who uses it.
I don't know anyone who uses it either. And you know what's sad is Kanye and Jay-Z used to be very close.
Well, exactly. But Kanye's alleging that Jay-Z and Tidal owe him $3 million. Like, that's not nothing.
Well, no, $3 million is definitely not nothing. That is for sure.
And when you're living, like, the high life like Kanye, and, you know, every day costs you $3 million to live. Like,
so
you need that money.
It's so true. It'll be interesting to see how it plays out. I wonder if Kanye is going to, you know, blast back with another, you know, naked Kanye, you know, maybe laying in a bed or something.
Yes. Kanye's been pretty silent here since his hospitalization. that we can't speak to what it was for because we don't know facts, but allegedly was, you know, an involuntary hold for psychiatric purposes. But
poor Kanye.
He's going to have to come back sometime, right? He's leaving the Twitterverse to Donald Trump, and it's an empty, lonely world without the Kanyes to counteract the Trumps.
I mean, I do enjoy a good tweet from Kanye, you know.
I mean, it keeps me going.
It certainly makes the Mondays more exciting.
Well, yes. And then, you know, you also have jumping in on Twitter, Lindsay Lohan. I know, you're like, who? Lindsay Lohan, she was in The Parent Trap. Lindsay Lohan is a fire crotch. This is who we're talking about.
Mean Girls.
Oh, yeah, that was something good she actually did. There you go.
Yeah, I do love that movie.
She jumped in to throw her support at Donald Trump and against CNN. She essentially, and I'm paraphrasing because I don't have the tweet in front of me, but said, CNN, back off. He is our president and we will support him.
Okay, you need to shut the fuck up, Lindsay Lohan. Nobody wants to hear what you think about politics, Mrs. I can't keep my head straight. I'm in and out of rehab. I'm speaking with a British accent / Australian accent / Russian accent. Whatever the hell that was.
She's a woman of the world.
Yeah. I mean, give me a break.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know what I could add to that. I mean, I think that's a thing that speaks for itself. Yeah. When Lindsay Lohan is your biggest supporter, you have sunk very low.
Yeah.
Now, I did hear that Melania Trump's ratings are skyrocketing.
That's interesting.
People are really digging her as first lady, maybe because their expectations were so low, though.
I do think that could be it, and maybe it's because they feel sorry for her, because I think a lot of people are like, oh, she didn't want to be first lady, she was happy living in Manhattan, living her life separate from Trump, and now she has to go everywhere with him, and he's always trying to hold her hand, so she's got to slap it away.
Those are my best moments of the day when I see a Melania hand slap.
I know, and you know, I will say she is a snazzy dresser.
Wears stuff that most, you know, cost amounts that most people don't make in a year.
No, for sure.
But it's beautiful. And I want my first lady to look classy and to keep it classy.
Yeah.
And so I like it. I can dig it.
It reminds me of kind of Jackie O. Not to say she's anything like Jackie O, but that she's just very classy. And I saw her the other day. She was wearing heels and these slacks and just like a sweater. I was like, my God, she's looking
She puts it together.
She does, so good for her on that.
Yeah, no, seriously. Another girl who's, like, killing it, you know, social media-wise at least, is Kelly Clarkson.
Yes.
She posted some 4th of July stuff and some music, and some Twitter troll was like, you're fat.
I think that's literally all he said.
He literally said, you're fat.
Okay, motherfucker, thanks.
To which she responded, and still fucking awesome.
Yeah, because she is. And P.S., she's making more money than you'll ever make or ever hope to make.
And she's still gorgeous. She's not like some tub of lard sitting at home in a muumuu, What's Eating Gilbert Grape style.
Oh, my God.
Like, she's a beautiful, talented individual out there doing the damn thing.
And she's running around after her kids. She's doing it. So leave her be.
Kelly alone.
Oh God, we're going to be the leave Kelly alone of the Britney thing. Yeah, I love her and whatever, they can suck it.
I mean, I totally agree with that. They sound like the kind of people that maybe would enjoy this next story where people are snorting chocolate. I mean, it's a thing. It's called Coco Loco.
Yeah, that Coco Loco for sure.
It just goes straight to your head.
I don't understand what this does because, I mean, I have really horrible sinuses, so I don't want to put anything up my nose, but chocolate, you want to, is it like cocoa powder or is it like
I
a
think
solid
it's a specific cocoa powder mix.
Like for hot chocolate? Like what the hell?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I saw on, and this is not really a spoiler alert, but it, in case you want to tune out for a second, Orange is the New Black they took to snorting instant coffee this season. I thought
that
was gross.
Do?
It made them like crazy energetic. It also made their noses bleed. So
of course it made their noses bleed. What, you're, that's not supposed to go up your nose?
No, so I feel like Coco Loco is the same. That's, when I heard that story, I immediately went Orange is the New Black. So I don't understand.
What kind of world are we living in that people have to go to chocolate as their source of an actual drug that they're snorting? They can't do cocaine and or heroin anymore. It's chocolate. Like, cocaine's too mellow for them, and yeah. Chocolate's
it's the better. Next. It is. It's the next level. It's the next level of crazy.
I don't get that. I don't get that.
I don't think it's anything we'll ever get.
Well, thank God. I don't want to get it. I don't want to understand why snorting chocolate is enjoyable.
Another thing I will never get is this week, Andrew Garfield, you know him from Spider-Man, he used to date Emma Stone, he's playing a gay man on Broadway.
Yes.
And he came out in this interview and said, for me to get into this role, I am now a gay man without the sex.
Which is bullshit.
Is offensive.
It is super offensive, because here's the thing, you are playing a character. You are not gay. You are straight. You're playing a character just like every other actor in the world does.
I mean, even if you're talking about method acting, you still wouldn't be gay. It would be more akin to, like, gay for the stay in jail. It would be, like, something you were doing for a period of time, but that is not actually your lifestyle. Being that that is people's actual lifestyle, it's highly offensive to, like, just say, oh, I'm this kind of person without the sex part. Because he's clearly not.
Yeah, that's so rude, and if I was gay, I'd be offended.
He took it one step further and said, to prep for this precious role in which he is a homosexual man, he watched a lot of RuPaul Drag Race.
How fucking stereotypical. Because all gay men have to watch RuPaul? No. There are gay men who like football. There are gay men who hate football. There's all kinds of gay men.
And let me tell you, RuPaul is a gay man that hates football. That is a personal experience story that we can get into more at a later date.
Yes.
He hates football.
Exactly. So it's like, come on. And there are straight men that hate football.
Uh-huh.
There are straight men, obviously, that love football. So it's like, what the hell? You saying that is also another layer of offensiveness.
That's exactly right. It's just another layer of offensiveness to the story. So, I mean, go fuck yourself, Andrew Garfield. I don't know. Like, that's, it's so fucking bizarre to me. Like, you should have ran that by a publicist, because that would not normally fly.
Yeah, he. If we were sending him a Hallmark card, it would say, go fuck yourself. For sure.
I mean, I think that would be accurate. So, guys, we have to get into Ben Affleck and Jennifer Garner. Because on 4th of July, they were together, and they were with their kids, and it was so cute. And everyone loves them, and everyone wants them to be together.
Because they are perfect together. Why are they not together? Because
he's dating the lady he cheated on Jen with.
Yeah, because he's a douchebag. Okay, I've seen the picture of this woman. She's not comparable to Jennifer Garner, I've got to say. Jennifer Garner, super talented, super articulate, super gorgeous, great mom. What the fuck? Another guy who cheats on an amazing woman. I don't get it.
It makes absolutely no sense to me at all. This lady is like, if you saw her walking down the street, you would not even give her a second look.
No.
And looks aren't everything. We're not saying that they are.
Right.
But we can't, like, based on our observations, because we don't know these people, Jennifer Garner, she seems like a great down-to-earth lady. They obviously still love each other and are still, like, spending time together and doing what's best for their family, which I really commend them for. I'm sure it's not easy.
Of course they are
really doing it. You see them out all the time together.
Uh-huh.
But really?
I know.
Come on.
I just don't get it. I would love to do, like, a case study with these men who cheat on these amazing women. Like, is it because they're too amazing? They need a side piece who's below? Like, I don't get it.
Yeah, your guess is as good as mine. I mean, that's just, it's a tale as old as time, unfortunately.
It's so sad.
Yeah. So on another sad note, Maria Menounos, she's on E! News, she has a radio show, she does all sorts of entertainment stuff, she's on One Tree Hill at some point.
She used to have a reality show.
Yeah, she's all over the place. Her mom has stage 4 brain cancer and is going through the treatment for that, but during that time, Maria herself also has been diagnosed with a brain tumor and had to have brain surgery to get it removed.
I can't even imagine. I mean, her parents live with her, and watching your mother struggle with stage 4 cancer, and I watch her snaps and her Insta stories, and they try everything under the sun, holistic things, chemical things, to try to help her mom. And then to find out, oh, you have a brain tumor too? Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, I can't even imagine. Like, obviously, I know what it's like to see your mom go through stage 4 cancer. My mom, you know, died.
Right.
But I certainly wasn't going through something like that at the same time. Like, that's just, how much can one family take?
Well, and it's interesting because I saw an interview with her and she said, you know, I decided to see this as a blessing, which I thought was so amazing that she took this really horrific piece of news and she turned it into a complete positive. She was like, you know what, I'm going to make this good. And she did. Now she's quitting E! News and she's going to try to become pregnant or go through other options to have a child because she really wants to have a family with her fiance. And I think that's great. And I love that she realized that her life was not what she wanted it to be. And people on the outside looking in would be like, oh, she's got money, she's got fame, she's got a fiance, she's gorgeous, but she still needed more and she wanted to change her life and she did. And I think that's awesome.
I give 100% give her props, wish her the best, wish her mom the best.
I love
her. It's not it's an uphill battle, but, you know, again, just wishing them all the best.
I agree.
So the big story of the week.
Yay!
we try to keep it a Kardashian-free zone here just because, really, they're just so overexposed to begin with.
And what more can you say about some of them?
What more can you say? But we're going to say more because Rob and Chyna have just dropped the gift of the perfect scandal in our lap. And it cannot be ignored, people. It's like a train wreck. I cannot keep my eyes off of it. I follow them on Snap. I looked at the Instagram before it got taken down. Let's break it down.
I know. When you had texted me in the morning and were like, oh, my God, look at this. It made my day. I was like, yes. Yes. Yes.
So the beginnings of it were Rob on his Instagram.
Yeah.
He wakes up in the morning. He decides, fuck it. I've had enough.
Mm-hmm.
I'm taking Chyna down.
I feel like, so, he's had these moments before, but this time, he really said, fuck it. He gave zero fucks. He said, fuck it, we're doing it live.
He fucking, like Bill O'Reilly, we're doing it fucking live.
He did it live.
Like, so, basically, you know, if we were just being G-rated about this, why? Rob accused Chyna of cheating and of being a filthy whore. Now let's break it down.
Yeah, so this will not be G-rated. So if you have children in the room, why? And to get them out now.
It's a good warning. We needed that. So let's start with the vag shots. So Rob takes vagina shots of Chyna that she has sent him to, you know, provoke him sexually.
to arouse him in their apart.
He posts them on Instagram.
I mean, this is why his account was shut down. You can't post vagina pictures on Instagram.
You absolutely cannot.
Like, you can't do that.
No. And then he posts videos that Chyna had sent him of her in bed with another guy. And apparently, this is the bed where they, you know, created Dream.
His name's Ferrari, the rapper.
Yes, his name is Ferrari. Sorry. Let's get down to business.
I've never heard of this man before.
Nope, me neither.
I don't know what label he belongs to.
Couldn't tell you.
But, you know, Chyna was into him from those videos.
Yeah, I saw the video. I mean, like I said, I got to Rob's Instagram before it was shut down, and I got to see a lot of things. A lot of things.
The vag shots I find to be pretty disgusting. That, to me, first of all, I don't think Chyna was embarrassed by it.
I do not think so in the least.
And also, it just makes Rob look like a complete douchebag. You have a daughter with this woman. Do you want your daughter to find out years from now you posted pictures of her mother's vagina on the internet?
All of this will all be there for Dream to see when she gets older. Like, even though the pictures have been removed, like, the articles will be there.
Yes. And here's the thing. Even he's justified in being mad at Chyna, fine, but there's a line, and he certainly crossed it.
Oh, 100%. And so, like, he goes on to post text messages from Ferrari asking Rob to pay Chyna's bills because she's too expensive and he cannot afford her.
Well, I don't even think Rob can afford her. I think that Chris is paying for Rob's 100%. Lifestyle.
One of the things Rob said, because like I said, I followed them on Snap and I get into it. So you guys don't have to. I'm taking that burden for you. I hope you appreciate the work that I do.
We're the middlemen, so you don't have to waste your time. We'll waste it for you.
So Rob says he spent $1 million in the last month on China. $1 million. That means Rob is at least making $12 million a year.
I don't, from his socks, his sock collection.
Which I don't see anywhere. I don't know. I go to Nordstrom. No. I've never seen Arthur George socks. They might be there. I'm not looking very hard, but
if they're there, first of all, they are not selling. He's not making millions off of that company. He's getting his money from Chris, who gets her money from Kim and Chloe and being the momager and the Kylie. And
in all fairness, Chris is like the producer of Keeping Up with the Kardashians and the 8,000 right. spinoffs that exist now. So Chris is absolutely rolling in money.
Oh, for
but
sure.
But Rob is for sure not.
No, his mom bought him the house that they were living in. So it's like, calm your shit. You're not, your mommy is paying for that.
Well, exactly. So he goes on to break it down. I spent $250,000 in this jewelry. I, you know, bought her all these cars. I bought her all this shit. You all think that China lost this baby weight naturally? No, fuck you. Here's a video of her getting the plastic surgery.
Well, do people really think that these women have achieved this look naturally? Because, I'm sorry, to have this snatched up stomach that is smaller than my arm and a big ass that has no cellulite on it, perfectly round, perfectly luscious and gorgeous, these skinny ass thighs, you want to tell me you just worked out in the gym? You need to shut the fuck up right now and move along, because that's bullshit.
Amen, sister. Preach. Preach.
I could eat chicken and veggies all day, and I could work out all goddamn day, and I would not have that body.
No, 100%.
You have to go to a surgeon to buy that.
100%. So he actually posts the video. I mean, we have to say allegedly, because there's no timestamp, there's no mark. We don't know if this is a video of her getting surgery some other time, or if when this is when she was going into labor or whatever. We don't know. We don't know anything. Right. But allegedly, it is of her getting the surgery, the post-baby weight loss. So then this starts China to snap back, and China goes, "Bitch, you beat me."
Oh, my God.
"You beat me." And we're all like, "What?" Rob, to me, seems like a gentle giant.
Yeah.
He's, like, sad and depressed and lonely and chubby. Yes. And he would just, like, cry. But a friend of ours today, our other best friend, told me that there's some video of Rob hitting Adrienne.
What?
Which is his ex-girlfriend, for those of you who don't know.
I heard she has said, I've seen interviews where she said that they broke up because he cheated on her. I had never heard that before in my life, and I would like to verify this somehow. So,
I feel like Nicole. Yeah. Nicole's the one who told us. She needs to send us the video so we can watch it and then let you guys know about that.
I just don't see Rob doing that. I see China beating him, but I just don't see Rob.
Yes, I do see that. That is accurate.
I just don't see Rob being like backhanding a bitch or something.
Yeah, I followed them on Snap. I followed them before this. And she snaps daily, and I know I wouldn't see that stuff if it happened, but never a bruise, never skipped a day where she wasn't happy, where she wasn't doing something, where she wasn't working out or eating or doing her nails or just posing sexy or whatever she does. So I'm a little skeptical. I would never say that a woman who's alleging abuse is not being abused.
Right.
But it seems a little suspect, is all I'd say. It warrants further investigation.
I agree. And I feel like also China, if, say, he, you know, did, like, slap her across the face, that she would have, in that moment, got on her Snapchat and been like, "Bitch, just slap me."
Yeah.
She would not have.
Yeah, she's public.
Yeah, she would not have waited to pull that out of her bag.
No, I agree with that. So Rob goes, fine. Or actually, later that day, China starts snapping more. She snaps all the $250,000 in jewelry Rob supposedly bought her. It's like Cartier love bracelets that are like encrusted in diamonds.
And that watch.
And the blingy watch. Yeah. And then she snaps more videos of her with Ferrari and just her doing a lot of sexy poses. So the next thing we see from Rob is recording all of China's cars that he repossessed. And he's singing, "Mr. Postman, look and see."
Yeah, I don't understand why he was singing that song at all.
Because they were delivered to him.
No, that's weird. I don't, no, I did not make that correlation. Those cars were repossessed and yes, put in your driveway, but Mr. Postman, it was just very strange.
It was so funny. That one just made me laugh hysterically. And to which China did more Ferrari videos, and Rob just posted videos of Dream, and it's kind of died down today because, mostly because I think a lot of people are saying that Rob is going to get charged with some kind of revenge porn.
I did hear that, and I mean, there have been cases where men have gotten prison time for revenge porn. I mean, he did post a picture of her vagina, so that falls under porn.
Yeah, no, it absolutely does. I mean, it's possible that this happens. So we'll stay tuned.
We'll keep you guys updated. We'll keep you
updated on the breaking Robin Chyna news. But yeah. Until then, let's turn to the housewives.
Yeah, well, the meat of the show.
So we got some housewives news. I was looking on Instagram today, and I noticed that Dorit... Sorry, I vomited in my mouth a little bit. Dorit posted a picture of what appeared to be a cast photo of Beverly Hills in Las Vegas. Mm-hmm. What I did see was Camille Grammer.
Right.
What I did see was Adrian. Mm-hmm. What I did not see was Eileen Davidson.
Oh.
Later, Eileen posted that she is no longer a housewife of Beverly Hills, which makes me really sad because I actually really like Eileen.
It is really sad. I love her too. I think that she was a great pot store at some point. And then I also felt like she was the voice of reason.
Oh, 100%.
For a lot of the times. And I felt like she was this calm in the storm and was like, okay, guys, she always did the hand movement. Okay, guys, let's calm it down. Well,
not even that. Like, who is team Lisa Rinna now?
No one is team Lisa Rinna now. And she's going to, I don't know, she's going to make up another story about Dorit having coke in her house or something. I mean, Lisa Rinna knows how to spin something, but at this point, Lisa Rinna is just pulling shit out of the air.
I mean, that was obvious at the when they were in China, and,
yeah.
And she was like,
"She's like,
you doing coke in the bathroom?" Yeah. Like, that came out of nowhere. But, like, let's not rehash the old past.
Right.
But, yes, without Eileen, there is no team hashtag Lisa Rinna.
No.
So, it's going to be interesting to see if one of, I don't know if these older castmates are going to actually be full-time castmates. I don't really need Adrian, to be quite honest with
you. No, I don't.
She's like one of my least favorite housewives of all time.
But there's fucking tinsel in her hair that she had sewn in.
And she tried to wash the chicken with soap. Like literally dish soap. Yeah, like there's a lot wrong with that. Plus, I way prefer Paul to Adrian anyway.
Yes, I way prefer Paul. He's so much nicer. She just seems so mean and scary.
Yeah, so I mean, we'll see what plays out. There's not been any cast news other than that Eileen Davidson's not returning. So we'll stay tuned to that. We'll keep you posted to that. Kelly Dodd had an interesting 4th of July weekend in Catalina. She got in a physical altercation with a man who maybe was allegedly trying to steal her purse, but...
I mean, it does not surprise me. This woman goes from 0 to 100 so quickly. She takes it to the next level. I mean, I feel like he could have looked at her sideways and she'd been like, motherfucker was trying to steal my Louis Vuitton.
Yes, and this guy ends up punching her in the stomach.
Oh my god, sounds so painful and
like
awful.
He literally just goes, kacha, and just hits her right in the gut. And then she still is arguing with him and yelling with him. Like, oh, she is a crazy fucking psycho, and I cannot wait to see what she does starting next week on Housewives of Orange County.
Woohoo!
Starts on July 10th.
Yes.
But she is batshit.
She really is. Oh, God, I can't even imagine getting punched in the stomach just out on the 4th of July. So casual.
How, mad are you making this man that some random stranger is going to punch a woman in the gut?
Yeah, God forbid she was pregnant. God.
That's next level.
Well,
so,
Kelly's next level, so it doesn't surprise me.
I mean, it fits in. So, speaking of next level, Ms. Kenya Moore might be out on Atlanta. Producers say she needs to have her new secretive husband on the show, or else she cannot be on the show. He doesn't want it.
Why doesn't he want it? Yeah. He married her knowing who she was.
That's a great point, and I think that happens a lot on these franchises, is they date these women or want to be with these women, and these women are public. They're just public. You can't. Yeah. Every aspect of their lives is public.
You're on a fucking reality show. This is gonna go off in another direction for a minute, but like, I hate it when reality stars are like, no, I don't want to talk about that. Bitch, please, you're on a reality show. You signed up to say, this is my life, this is everything in it. You have a publicist, give me a break. If you have a publicist, you're in the public eye, calm it down. So I don't understand why her new husband would be like, oh yeah, she's on this show, but she's not gonna do it anymore. Why would she give that up?
Yeah, like, I think he thought that she could still be on the show, but he wouldn't have to, and their secret wedding, and the fact that she was just dating another guy the whole last season of Atlanta wouldn't be an issue. But of course it's going to be. That's what the viewers want to see. They want to see, whoa, Kenya was with Matt. Now she's with this other guy. Like, what happened? When did they get married? We want to see all of it.
It was such a huge turn of events. So, like you said, of course. He's stupid.
So, well, it'll be interesting to see whether she chooses love or money. It's Kenya, so it'll probably be money.
I say go with the money, honey.
I would miss her. Like, I actually really genuinely like Kenya. Uh-huh. So I would really miss her being on Atlanta. So I hope for my sake, my personal sake, she chooses the money over love. Yeah, so
choose that money. He's not going to pay your bills. Let's be real. Do any of the men on the Housewives series, besides like a few, pay these women's bills?
No. No. And speaking of which, let's talk about the Black Bill Gates for a second.
Okay.
So, I read an article, not on TMZ, not on Perez Hilton, not on the Gossip Rags, but in the actual Washington Post.
Oh my gosh.
About Karen Huger and her husband Ray, the Black Bill Gates. We can now find out why they, you know, listed their house at $2.5 million with a value of $2.4 million, but actually sold it for $1.7 million because they owe Uncle Sam a lot of goddamn money. And this is like a very typical housewives trap.
Yes.
They get on TV and they forget that they have to pay taxes. And then because they're on TV, Uncle Sam finds them and is like, oh shit, you haven't paid us taxes.
Yeah, why do they not hire someone, like a financial advisor, someone in taxes, like an accountant? I don't understand. You are making copious amounts of money. You need to account for that. You need to, you know, get your shit in order.
Well, I mean, to me, it's like it's specifically, I mean, my thought on the situation would be because they're doing something illegal. It would be exactly like the Teresa and Joe Judice situation.
Yes.
So, like, right now, currently, the United States government has a $1.5 million tax lien against the Hugers personally, and a $3.1 million tax lien against the Hugers' business interests.
Oh,
so now we know why they have to rent, because they can't afford a house with a tax lien against it.
Mm-hmm.
We know that why they have no furniture, because Uncle Sam is garnishing their wages.
They can't even afford, what about Rent-A-Center? Could they look at the Rent-A-Center couch?
I mean, you would hope, but I mean, they certainly did afford a lavish Indian African party, which we'll get into in a minute.
Yeah,
but
we definitely, there's something specifically I want to talk about.
Oh, yeah, we'll get into that in just a sec. But just so you guys know, that's why they rent. We've solved the mystery, the Great Falls mystery, which we'll get into more in a minute. Because I just wanted to take a second to know a secret behind the scenes Housewives thing that I learned by listening to Portia Williams on Jenny McCarthy's radio show on Sirius. She said, interestingly enough, that they go on these vacations. Everyone knows there's a cast
so
vacation.
So glamorous.
Every season.
Luxurious.
They follow every, you know, every minute of your vacation because they want some crazy shit to happen. But they do give these housewives one complete day with no cameras.
I find that interesting. They get a vacation on their vacation.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think that's a little nice, actually, because God only knows what could happen. I guess theoretically, if something dramatic happened, they could get cameras there real quick.
Oh, of course. But I do think it's nice, and it sounds like something I want to partake. I want a vacation.
Yeah, so, Andy Cohen, we have a Housewives franchise ready. Like, it's packed. We've got the cast. We're ready to go.
Yeah, so just hit us up.
Yeah, we got you. We got you, boo.
We're out there in the public. Find us.
So let's move on to Potomac.
Okay.
Home is where the truth is.
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
I'm glad that we found the truth by reading the goddamn Washington Post and not actually on the goddamn show.
Yep. I felt like this was one of the least dramatic, least interesting, least entertaining finales that I've ever seen on a Housewife franchise.
Oh, God, yes. Yeah. So, like, it starts back where we're back at the reveal party, the champagne room, no sex in the champagne room, blah, blah, blah. Ashley and Karen were going at it at the end of last episode, so that's exactly where we picked up. You know, they're accusing Karen of lying, of being evasive, of not answering questions about why she lives in Great Falls and why she moved out while they were in Bermuda. And Karen's like, I'm just doing me. She literally says that. And I'm like, okay, but you're still not answering anyone's question.
Yeah, because she doesn't want to tell them her dirty laundry. But you're on a reality show, so we need to see your dirty laundry.
So she essentially just evades and evades and evades till, for whatever reason, Ashley ends up apologizing, which I didn't understand.
Well, I didn't understand why she was apologizing either. It was very strange. I was just like, okay, let's move it along.
So at the end of the reveal party, Karen essentially says, I'm going to have this anniversary party. It's Ray and I's 20th anniversary. And the ladies are like, is this a housewarming party too? So I call it the warmiversary party.
I like that.
So she says, we're going to do this party and it's going to be an exotic theme.
Oh yes. Her exotic theme of Indian.
Slash African.
Slash, because those two cultures are so similar.
But yeah, because that's just like fucking, she literally put cultures in a hat and drew them out. I understand, and again, we'll get into it later, that there was a reason for adding African, but, like, come on.
But why not just do one or the other? Like, I understand why they added the African, but you just don't have two such diverse cultures in one party. It just doesn't
yeah,
work.
Yeah, it really doesn't and did not work.
No, and there was a castmate who really fucked it up
with her
costume. We'll get to that.
There. So the next scene is Robin and Juan, and they're at their house, and Robin finally confesses to Juan that she was given this homework about going to date guys, and that she didn't want to do that she wanted to spend time with him, and Juan had no reaction at all. His reaction was more like, do what you do.
Yeah, and I really don't understand why she gives him chance after chance, and I don't understand why she keeps putting herself in this position.
Well, he said, I would have cared if you'd gone on a date, but what confused me is earlier in the season, I seem to remember Robin saying, Juan wants me back. Juan wants me back. If Juan wanted me back, or like if I said today I wanted him back, we'd be back. Well, she essentially said she wanted him back, and he still was like, we'll just work on it, and we'll just do this, and we'll just do that.
Because honestly, he has his cake and eat it too. He lives with her in his house with his kids, so he can see them whenever he wants. He can have that woman who is a ride or die for him, and then he can go out and get a whole bunch of side pieces, like apparently Jay-Z and Ben Affleck do.
Amen, sister.
So,
amen.
Ew. These three men, you're gross.
Gross. If we had a stamp and we could put it on your forehead, it'd
yes.
be gross.
How nice would that be if we could, for the single ladies, just like, bam, stamp it on their forehead. He's a gross asshole.
Yeah, and then everyone could stay away. It would like save a bunch of ladies a lot of time and heartache.
Yeah, would.
So then we get to see Karen's Great Falls home finally. It's all full of boxes. It's 9 bedrooms.
I know.
14,000 square feet.
And it's a rental. You're renting 14,000 square feet.
I can't even imagine what the rent on that is.
What the hell are two people doing with 14,000 square
feet? Well, that's what her husband's asking.
Like, what? Why do you need that? Why?
I don't understand. So, like, she starts talking to Ray about the party, the warmiversary party. And she says she wants a Bollywood theme.
Right.
So we're taking that to mean that she wants an Indian theme. And,
right.
And Ray asks the obvious question, why Indian? We are clearly African.
Yeah, I get why he's asking that question. Absolutely.
And she goes, we'll just fucking throw it in. Why not? They're exotic. This is exotic. So we will do an Indian African party.
So stupid. No, that is not a thing.
It wasn't a thing here either, believe me.
It wasn't a thing. And, oh, God. I mean, when they were talking about it, I was like, yeah, this is going to end badly.
Yes, yes, yes. And it did.
It did.
So, briefly after that, we see Giselle and Kevin. They go out to dinner. Giselle breaks up with Kevin. Kevin does not get the point. And that's essentially it. That's the bullet point from that one.
And, you know, I feel like if they're going to have a Potomac season 3, God help
Jesus,
us.
No, why would you say that?
I know. God, please help us. They're going to rehash this. And they'll probably rehash Karen moving and shit.
And they'll probably go back to Bermuda.
And I don't know. The scene of the crime. They should have stayed there, been lost there. Leave us alone.
Yeah, so I don't even understand why that scene was even in there. So then we go to Monique's house, and the stats on Monique's house is that it cost them $5 million, it's 6 bedrooms, 7 bathrooms, it's 12,000 square foot, and she wants mirrors all over for her headboards and her ceiling for sexual watching.
Okay, that's excessive to me. I mean, I get people like to do different things in the bedroom. That's their prerogative. More power to you. But I find that to be odd that she's wanting to see herself so much. Like,
she loves herself. That girl loves herself.
I get it, but wow. Like, I would wake up in the middle of the night to go pee or something in all these mirrors, and I'd see myself and freak myself out and think it was a spirit or something.
Yeah, so the girls come over to see Monique's house. It's really uneventful, but we do find out that Ashley is going to be invited to the warmiversary party. So then, of course, Charisse, Ashley, and Robin need to go costume shopping. So they go to some Indian costume shop, and they essentially are just embroiled in mass confusion about what this party is, what they need to wear, why is Karen pretending to be fabulous when she clearly is not. It's just 7 layers of confusion.
It is. It's a tiramisu of shit.
That is a good damn metaphor.
Yeah.
It's a tiramisu of shit.
It is. It's crazy. And I feel like maybe some of these women should realize what the word Indian means.
Yes, so turning to that, Karen's party. Yep. Monique shows up in Native American Indian garb.
Yeah, with a full-on headdress. So here's the thing. Native Americans do not like to be called Indians.
That is true.
So I feel like she should know that.
I feel like it was a little offensive.
I feel like it's very offensive.
I mean, in all fairness, these pictures might come out someday, but I was an Indian for Halloween and like, 4th grade or something.
I feel like a child dressing like is far more appropriate than a grown woman who sees the word Indian and dresses like a Native American.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you're right. And
I just think that's weird to me. Like, you, what?
Yeah. So I totally agree with that. What I found shocking about the costumes, first of all, I wanted to say that Robin looked gorgeous. I think she won the best dress. She had a gorgeous dress on, her makeup, hair, everything was good.
I agree.
I didn't realize that Karen's waist was so small.
Maybe she has on one of those.
Although she turns around and she's got a lot of rolls on her back.
She's got one of those corsets that like pushes it all to the back.
But she was wearing, it was like exposing her belly. It was like a midriff bearing. So I was actually surprised at how thin her midsection was.
Maybe she had it tucked.
That could be. It could be. Because, like, when she wears clothes, it doesn't look that thin. So I was a little confused. But people get there. There's no drinks. There's no valet. These people want a tour. No. These people are waiting for the guest of honor. They are getting antsy. And then all of a sudden, Karen and Ray come out on this balcony. And they're just waving to the peasants below. And they're like, hello,
like
I am here.
Like they're the royal family.
Oh, my God. It was so awful. It was like... And then they, like, walk down from the balcony, and they have this Indian dance.
Which
and
is
I
so
felt strange about it. Like, yeah, I was like, this isn't appropriate to me.
It was weird, it was awkward, and I just don't understand. I feel like people need to be more aware of what they're doing when it comes to having cultural...
Like, cultural appropriation?
No, exactly. Like, I mean, I watched a documentary on how Native Americans get so offended that people do, as adults, dress up as Indians or Native Americans because they find it to be cultural appropriation.
Yeah, I would say that. And then there was the African performers, and it's just, like, really confusing for me.
Right.
I did think it was funny when Michael was talking to Monique's husband and was like, why is there no furniture? Is this a setup for something? What is going on here?
That was one of my only favorite parts.
It made me chuckle, and a chuckle at Potomac means, you know, that was a highlight. Yeah. So
the only highlight.
Then, you know, Ray and Karen make this toast, and they're making out, and it's disgusting.
No one wants to see that. No one wants to see that.
Then Karen's kids surprise her by having her mom, who has dementia, on the phone, which was really sweet, but it caused Karen to break down in this way that I thought was really disingenuous.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, that's a beautiful thing her kids did. But her reaction was super bipolar. She, like, broke down hysterically crying, and she was like, you did good. You did good. Like, it was just, like, she turned it off.
Yeah, I don't like women who can go hysterically crying and emotional, completely composed within a literal second.
Yeah, no, that scares me. Disingenuous. Yeah. To me, or bipolar. These are the options. So
it scares me for sure.
After that, we get the summary of, like, you know, the typical end of season summary. Mm-hmm. Robin is working it out with Juan.
Ew, move along.
Giselle is dating a basketball player.
Yeah, like, what is happening? And she met him at a gym. Okay, that's so gonna last. Like,
yeah, just like Matt in Kenya. Like, oh my God. It's a real good place. Monique has had a shark tank installed in her kitchen, but does not live there yet. She does not live in that house.
Does the shark live there?
Yeah, I mean, I hope not. That's creepy. I don't like that.
And I also feel like that poor shark, he doesn't live in your tiny-ass aquarium.
Yeah, that's probably, that's animal abuse. I don't like sharks. They abuse me, but
to be fair, a shark has never abused you.
I mean, that's because I wore my shark band in Hawaii. It magnetically repels the sharks from my leg.
I don't know if that's a thing.
I mean, it's a placebo effect at best. So, and the shark bands, to be fair, say, don't put this next to your electronic equipment. It will destroy it. And I was really? Like, oh, yeah. So I ended up returning the shark band.
Did you? Oh, my God. That is so funny. Yeah, you don't want that next to your cell phone and yeah, not have a cell phone.
Exactly. So Ashley has a bad marriage and a bad restaurant.
Yeah, we saw that coming from a mile away. Like, let's be real.
Karen is now the grand dame of Great Falls.
Yeah,
Charisse is still married to Eddie, but doesn't talk to him at all.
She just gets the checks.
Exactly. She just gets the checks. So the preview shows that, it's the preview for the reunion. It looks a little heated. We'll see some stuff with Robin and Juan. We'll see Ashley and Michael stuff. And Karen's got a boyfriend? I don't know. I guess we'll find out. On the next episode of Real Housewives of Potomac.
No, that was the finale. Now we have to go into the stupid
reunion,
which will also be a waste of our time, but we'll still talk about it.
Yes. So with the time we have left, let's move to more important issues like the Real Housewives of New York City.
Yes. The real Housewives.
The Real Housewives. The real Housewives. Franchise number two. Yes. So this episode was entitled The Slippery Slope because obviously we're still in Vermont.
Right.
But now it's breakfast. It's not dinner anymore. We're at breakfast. Dorinda's got her clothes.
Yeah, she's happy.
Bethany apologizes to Tinsley for I'm not really sure what, because it didn't really seem like they... I mean, I get it that Bethany got snippy to Tinsley, right, but it didn't seem like it warranted an apology to me.
Right. I think what she was trying to achieve by that was maybe more just reaching out and being like, hey, I acknowledge that you're going through something. Take your time to heal. And
Okay. I can dig that.
Yeah. So I think that's what she was doing, and more about saying, you know, I was telling you to move on. How about you just take your time? And I can appreciate that.
Okay. So I can give that, because I was like a little confused. I was like, it doesn't really seem like that. Right. They're having eggs, not a la Francais. I think that's important to note. They're not a la Francais. Oh, I didn't note that. Luann noted that. Sorry. Sonia comes down in this nightie with these furry boots.
Oh, God.
I liked it. I could dig it. That's how I want to go skiing from now on. Just in a nightie and some furry-ass boots.
I'm down with the furry boots just to keep me warm. But, my God, she just put some clothes on, woman.
So then Sonia starts talking about how... to Luann about how she's going through this transition, and it's all about this transition, and this Portuguese. I don't like when Luann speaks another language. It makes me uncomfortable.
I know. I was like, I've never heard that, but all right.
It's such a Luann thing to like drop things that no one even has ever heard or cares about.
Right. Why wouldn't she say menage a trois?
Well, right. So she keeps talking about like Sonia's saying that she's going through a transition with Tom and Luann because. Mm-hmm. Tom was her lover and blah, 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 blah. And, you know, so now awkward. She has to transition. She keeps using the transition word, which is, you know, a word that in this day and age in our culture has a different connotation.
Right. So she's not transitioning from anything to anything. And she's certainly not transitioning with a married couple.
Yeah. And so that's why Luann's like, this is not a threesome. This is not a menage. Like, we're not transitioning.
Yeah.
But Sonia essentially says, after talking about transitions for steady 5 minutes, that she's old enough that she has a license to say anything she wants.
Yes, that's right.
Is she 90? Because that's what I think of, like, grandmothers when they say racist things.
Like, right, where you're like, don't pay attention to grandma. she needs to realize that her age does not give her freedom to be an asshole.
Yeah, no, I was like, she's not old enough to have that excuse. It's very bizarre to me.
And also... the thing she's saying, like the transitioning thing, it was really weird and awkward. Your age has nothing to do with that. I don't care how old you were or are, and you say that, I'd look at you weird.
Yeah, I agree. So Sonia's just excusing bad behavior.
Uh-huh, for sure.
Bad, whatever. Ramona says she does everything, but I want to know, does Ramona make it nice? Because
she makes it nice.
I don't think she makes it nice. Basically, everyone's getting up, getting ready, and everyone except Dorinda and Carol are going to go skiing / snowboarding. Dorinda's like, I don't want to go to Mexico with a broken hip, so I'm not skiing.
I feel her. I don't have any desire to ski or to snowboard. I do have desire to drink vodka sodas by a fire while watching the snow.
Yes. Carol said, I like to sit in the lodge and gossip, and I think that I will go skiing because my husband skis, and
right.
It makes me want to kill myself, but you know, I'll do it, but I want the lodge at the end of the day, and if I was being honest with myself and everyone around me, I just have the lodge all day.
Yeah, and I am such a clumsy person. My God, I would kill myself.
Yeah, skiing is hard. Like, so that's, I wanted to jump to that real quick. Ramona makes these, like, comments about East Coast skiing, uh-huh. West Coast skiing, and I don't know, she has a ski instructor, so I didn't realize she was a ski aficionado.
Yeah,
but like, I was like, skiing's hard, like, period. Uh-huh. Like, it doesn't warrant your, like, East Coast, West Coast, icy, slushy, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, I mean, everyone I've ever met who has gone skiing has told me it's hard. Like, you have to work at it.
Yeah, no, it's like,
it's not like
insane.
It's not like roller skating.
So, The other girls are going up on a ski lift, and Luann has to make some snide-ass comments mm-hmm. about Bethany's skinny girl snowboard. She's got the skinny girl car. She's got the skinny girl snowboard.
Yep.
Blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, are you still bitter that you think you created the skinny girl brand, and that's why you're bitching about this?
Let me tell you something. She's absolutely bitter. She's absolutely jealous. And let me tell you another thing. When Pretty Vulgar, because we're just starting out, blows up because it's going to. I will have a Pretty Vulgar car out in my driveway. I will have Pretty Vulgar stickers all over the place. I will be handing out Pretty Vulgar frisbees to people if I need to. Because that's something, when you work hard for something and you put your blood, sweat, and tears into it and you really nurture it, you're fucking proud of it. Let her be proud of it. I would do it. Why not?
Yeah, no, I completely agree 100%. So I thought that was very snide and very jealous, and I'm kind of over the Luann jealousy issue.
Yeah, get over it.
I like that Ramona says, I don't want to be a snob, but nothing is like Aspen. Like, can we stop talking about Aspen? We're in Vermont.
Yeah.
Like, go fuck yourself.
Yeah, or just go to Aspen. Leave us alone, go to Aspen.
That would be fine, too, because Ramona gets the ski instructor. He's a young guy.
And she's so inappropriate with him. He's
literally not even older than Avery. I guarantee it. And she is inappropriate with him. She's inappropriate with him on the slopes.
Yes.
She's super inappropriate with him at the lodge. Like, she's ordering him around like he's a slave.
Yeah.
She's touching his leg.
It was so gross. She is embarrassing. Like, get a hold of yourself, woman. She cannot keep her vagina in her pants when men are around.
No, it's so disgusting. I don't know what's wrong with her. Like, this is literally her child's age.
Yeah, that's, no, ew. And you could tell he felt uncomfortable.
Oh, God, 100%. And even, like, all the girls are saying, like, lay off, crazy lady.
Yeah.
Lay the fuck off. And she was just laying it on thick. So
for sure.
They're on the slopes, and, like, Ramona keeps freaking out that Tinsley is too close to her.
Oh,
Tinsley's not anywhere close to her, by the way.
I know, I saw that. I was like, what are you talking about? She was paranoid, or I don't know, maybe she was trying to make drama. I don't know.
That's what it was. It was manufactured drama. She was like, you can't be in my lane. I have to have my own lane.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, watching Bethany snowboard really makes me actually kind of want to try snowboarding, because she, like, makes it look really cool and effortless. Like, she's just, like, going down the slopes, and it's so cool.
Oh, no, not me. I will watch you and take pictures with my vodka soda by the fire.
So while, you know, Carol and Dorinda are in the lodge gossiping while everyone's skiing, they talk about the Jason situation.
Right.
At this point, Jason's getting arrested mm-hmm. for the stalking and the harassing, and apparently he's alleging that Bethany doesn't even, you know, want to be a mother, that she's
bullshit.
Just using Brynn as a side piece, essentially, like an accessory.
Which is so, it's offensive. I mean, when you call out a mom who's obviously a good mom and say she's a bad mom, and it's so evil and it's so mean-spirited.
It's to get right at the heart. That's exactly what it's about.
I'm telling you, if someone called me a bad mom, it would cut me even though I know differently. Like
I'm sure. It's like one of those instant things because my understanding, I'm not a mother, but my understanding, especially of being a mom, is that you always think you're doing it wrong anyway. Like,
oh, for
sure. You're always worried you're going to fuck up the kid. Uh-huh, you're going to screw it up.
Yeah.
So even if you know logically you're doing a damn good job, if someone's right. like, you're doing a shitty job, you instantly go there.
Of course. I mean, at the end of the day, being a mom, you lay down and you're like, oh, I should have done this. I should have done that. But so when someone is coming at you, it affects you even though logically you know.
Yeah, no, definitely. So while that they're talking about that, and the episode doesn't go very deep into that, I think right. we're going to get more of that maybe next week.
Well, Bethany's very vague about it, and I wish, and I wrote this down, I wish she was more vocal about it.
She should be.
Yeah, I think she needs to open up more with her fans, especially with her Be Strong Foundation. She has this foundation for women who are struggling and are in an abusive situation, and I think her experience could help a lot of women.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. And I think, you know, her being vocal about it would take away the power Jason has over her.
For sure.
So, break the court orders. Break the, like, you have the money. You can pay all the contempt charges.
Uh-huh.
You could take care of it. Just take away his power.
Exactly.
So, meanwhile, while the girls in the lodge are talking about that, Bethany and them are still out on the slopes. Ramona wants them to take a picture together. Bethany's like, nah, it'll just be the skiers. Like, I don't want to be part of your picture.
And who can blame her? Because what I love about Bethany is she's very upfront. She's like, okay, we can be civil and stuff, but I'm not going to go out of my way to be buddy-buddy with you.
Yeah. Well, no, exactly. And, you know, then they go back in the lodge, and we already kind of discussed Ramona and this guy. And literally, I can't watch it because it makes me feel uncomfortable.
It's so awkward. So awkward.
And, like, Carol's, like, she's sending away the servant. Like, Carol is, like, in my head because I'm like, this is exactly what I'm, you know.
Well, at one point, she looked down and she's like, I need a Corona with a lime, and you get whatever you want, and you can charge it to my room. Like, excuse me?
Yeah, I know. It's insane. And then you kind of see Bethany, and she's obviously reading, you know, Google news notifications right. about her own life around these ladies who clearly, I mean, some of them do care. I'm not going to discount.
Carol,
I think. Well, obviously, I think Carol and Bethany are very good friends. I actually think Dorinda's a good friend, too.
Yeah, I think Dorinda cares, too.
And I actually think Sonia cares, too. She's just crazy.
I agree with that. And I think Dorinda, like she said, you want to talk to me about it, great, I'm here. If you don't want to talk to me about it, I get it.
Well, exactly. So, and then the kind of the last thing you see at the lodge is Tinsley really likes to mix pills and booze. At first it was the wine and the Z-Pack. Now she's mixing Tito's and antidepressants.
I know. So she's just starting antidepressants. And you're not supposed to drink when you're on antidepressants and all that kind of stuff. And I think she should heed those warnings. Especially because she's not just having an occasional glass of wine. She's drinking to excess every day.
Right, right.
So it's not like she's just casually drinking here and there, so it's not a big deal. It is a big deal, and I think that she is on a slippery slope, as the episode
look
says.
At you.
I know, brought that
multiple
back.
Multiple meanings. So then they go back to the house, and Ramona has taken over this dinner. Like, apparently, it seems to me they didn't. They say Ramona took over the dinner, so uh-huh. that to me means someone else was supposed to plan dinner.
Uh-huh.
Ramona got this restaurateur to come in and make the dinner, and I just think Ramona's a big-ass child. Like, she just is so childish.
And when she comes down from doing Sonia's hair and made her
look... Oh, God, that was hideous.
Made her look like a god-awful hooker. She was being overly flirtatious again with these restaurateurs and being inappropriate again. She cannot keep her sexual energy encapsulated where it belongs.
Right. And, like, while Sonia's doing, or I'm sorry, while Ramona's doing Sonia's hair,
mm-hmm.
she's talking about, like, they tell her essentially that she'll be invited to Mexico, but when Luann comes. Luann's right. going to Mexico on a bridge trip. Bethany said, okay, this is my compromise. bring Ramona when you come.
Yes.
That way she's not there the whole trip.
But, and I will say, I think that's an excellent compromise. And I think that with someone you don't get along with and your other friends are going, that's a great compromise.
I agree, too. So, I see nothing wrong with that. But then Ramona starts talking about manipulation regarding the invite. And I literally didn't understand what she said.
Because she's talking nonsense. I don't even think she understands what she says half the time.
Yeah, like, and then she's like, she's so delusional. She's like explaining the day and what happened during the day.
Yeah.
And Sonia's literally sitting there going, no, that didn't happen.
Yeah.
No, I saw that. No, Bethany's not warming up to you. She's not happy with you. She looked annoyed with you.
I know. I was like, you need to be listening to your friend Sonia.
I mean, when Sonia's the voice of reason, we've all gone off the rails, I think. It's,
well, hell yes, we have.
So then they go to dinner. And this is the world's most interesting dinner because they decide to play Truth or Dare.
I laughed my ass off through this whole scene, section, whatever you want to call it. The shit they were talking about, my lord.
It's, you know.
When Carol busts out with, what age did you first have anal sex? My mouth, like, dropped. I mean, obviously, girlfriends talk about sex, all kinds of shit, especially your close girlfriends.
Right.
But like we discussed last week, I've never been asked that.
No, no. And Tinsley was like, I had it while I was married. Like, she just answers. Yeah. Just, it comes out, and we're like, oh, okay.
Well, because she was drunk and on pills. And then Dorinda, I like how she was like, just thought it was the most obscene, disgusting thing. How
she literally says, no, with this, with this, this, with this.
Yeah.
In a very Dorinda way, she says absolutely nothing at all.
Yeah, I was like, okay, Dorinda, calm yourself.
But it's, like, so funny. And, like, then they talk about how, like, Tinsley, like, she cried. I mean, it's, like, this crazy, crazy anal sex conversation that I just did not expect to see in my housewives.
Yeah, it took another turn down a dark alley that we need to come back out of.
So they take a brief trip into the dare world when Sonia chooses dare and she's dared to French kiss the chef.
Who I think was gay.
She instead rape kisses the waiter.
He did. Or she did, and he was gay, right?
I don't know. He was not having it. No, he was wasn't. Like, please leave me alone. Like, I mean, he didn't say that, but she made him uncomfortable.
Yeah, I'm sorry. A woman shouldn't go up and force herself on a man just as a man shouldn't do that to a woman.
Well, exactly. So then they go back to Truth, and Dorinda gets it, and they ask how big is John's penis, and she says his penis is like a cucumber.
I don't believe that.
To which Bethany takes it, cuts it all up, and is like, this is probably more like what his penis is.
I feel like Bethany's, cutting of the cucumber is more accurate. No.
Yeah, it was all jagged and crooked and probably more accurate to what John's penis looked like than a huge ass. Smooth, rock-hard cucumber. Come on, please.
Ew, he's so gross, and now I'm picturing him with a cucumber cock.
And then Tinsley's like, my husband was huge. That's why I cried during the anal sex.
If we're crying during sex because it's so painful, we need to stop. Like,
we need to reevaluate the situation.
Yeah, let's figure something out here because sex is supposed to be fun, people.
I mean, Carol has fun sleeping with George Clooney.
When she said that, I was like, bitch, you did what? Like,
she's like, post-ER, but pre-Ocean's 11. I'm like, what? And then she's like, he's a 9. Of course he's a 9. He's fucking George Clooney. Are you kidding?
He's been around the bend a few times, so I'm sure he knows what he's doing.
So that was one of the shockers. Like, good for you, girl. Like,
get it.
I didn't see that one coming.
I didn't either, but
I mean,
her.
She doesn't seem like she'd be Mr. Clooney's level. No. But, I mean, she's intellectually probably his level, but
so he was probably enjoyed talking. It was probably one next
year. Yeah.
For sure.
They ask Ramona how many sexual activities has she done since she's divorced Mario.
Right.
And she immediately says 3. But then we find out she defines sexual activity as purely vaginal penis intercourse. Vagina.
Which is such bullshit. And then she makes the comment, I'm a good Catholic girl. Excuse the fuck out of me. I am Catholic, raised in the church, went through all the holy sacraments. Nowhere in those classes that I took at catechism were they like, you can't have sex, but you can totally suck a guy's dick. No!
I mean, that's what I'm saying. She really, really applied the Bill Clinton school of sexual intercourse.
What do you mean that sex is only penis to vagina? You're stupid.
Yeah, so we're going to take it to mean that she's had a lot more sexual experiences.
Oh, my God. She's given out head like it's a lollipop.
Yes, I think that's accurate. I think that's an accurate description. And she was like, oh, I won't tell that. So go back to your Bill Clinton School of Sexual Intercourse. The class. Get recertified.
You can still get an STD from giving head. I don't know what kind of brainwashing she's had, but you could still get
she
that
should have
oral.
A nice little sit down with Monica Lewinsky. I'm just saying,
seriously, get it together, Sonia.
So before we got into the next area, I didn't even really think about that Luann is the only married one.
I didn't think about that either until she brought who brought it up. Oh, we're all single. Was it Ramona?
I think it was Ramona, but I think it was also echoed from other people at the table. So finally, Dorinda's like, we've had enough of you talking about your goddamn wedding. We get it. You're married.
You're happy.
Like, Tom was fucking around. You were fucking around. Like, Dorinda really got into it.
Well, because Luann likes to sit there and say, oh, I'm so lucky. I don't have to do this anymore. You really enjoyed the fucking around, Luann.
Well, not to mention, like, she, first of all, like, you and I have thought, our hypothesis is that she's still fucking Jacques anyway.
Uh-huh, for sure.
Like, that they have an open marriage, Tom does what he wants, Luann does what she wants, and then they go to parties together.
Yeah.
But the thing I found interesting about what Luann said is she's like, I don't ever talk about my wedding. Like, does she have fucking amnesia?
I know, I'm like...
It's all she talks about.
She wanted the better room in Vermont because she had just gotten married. Like, what the fuck is that?
Right, that's what I'm saying. And then, forever... reason Bethany decides that she'd stick up for Luann in this one instant that Luann's had such a hard time getting to the altar, let her enjoy the fact that she got to the altar, which, you know what, I would say for like a week or 2 weeks, but this has got like every day Luann is talking about her wedding, and that's why Dorinda's like, what, you have flipped the script here, like, and I give props to Dorinda for that because I totally agree.
Well, and also I do agree with that too, and it's just so excessive. And Luann acts like she was not this single girl; like she's been married to Tom for 50 years. You haven't.
Yes. You've been married. It's like a holier than thou attitude of like, I'm so glad I don't have to be in your position, ladies. Like you were there 6 months ago.
Exactly, and you're still there because you're still sleeping with other people. You're not just sleeping
with no, you don't have Tom. Let's just be real about that.
Yeah, he has you.
I like that Dorinda said that Luann is not God. I don't know what that has to do with anything, but I enjoyed it.
I mean, she was getting down her sloppy Dorinda drunk face. She was getting there quick.
And the last thing I wanted to point out about this episode before we get into the preview is Sonia is drinking.
Was she?
She had a glass of red wine. I was like,
oh my gosh, I didn't even notice that. Oh no, so she's gonna start slipping.
Well, you know, let's see. We just jump right into the preview where she's getting the hair removed off her vagina via laser.
Yeah, she was like, Tinsley doesn't have hair on her vagina. Who else doesn't have hair on their vagina? I think that's a personal preference. You don't need to be lasering that shit away just because a couple of girls, you know, don't have hair.
I mean, you can always just go to the good old-fashioned waxing salon like I do, too. Like, I don't know. It seems, like, drastic, but okay, good for you, girl. You did it.
And I feel like each guy's so individual in their wants in that department, so just slow down.
Yeah, and then so Bethany says it's essentially going to be a booze field trip. Ramona Singer maybe has... not been invited, but by the end of the preview, you get that conflict with Bethany and Ramona again, where Bethany's trying to invite Ramona, and Ramona freaks the fuck out and gets crazy eyes.
And fake, I don't know if they were fake tears or if they were real tears, but she doesn't.
Don't even go there, Bethany. Don't even do it. Don't even go there. My eye is bugging out of my head. Excuse me, I have to put it back in.
She literally has to put it back in.
So, and then the least interesting part of the preview to me is that Tinsley goes on a blind date.
I know, it starts making out with him in front of Adam and Carol.
Adam and Carol were all about it, though. They were very excited.
Yeah, but let's just have some decorum, people.
Decorum is not a word in these ladies'
that's
vocabulary.
True. And that's why we love them.
And that is why we love them. And that is why, you know, we've come to the end of another week.
We have. All right, guys. Thank you again for listening to episode 4 of our podcast. You can find us on Instagram at Pretty Vulgar Podcast. You can find us on Twitter at Pretty and Vulgar, and you can find us on Facebook at Pretty Vulgar Podcast as well. So if you guys have questions, comments, please hit us up. And also, don't forget to subscribe and rate us.
5 stars, people. I mean, unless you don't really feel like it's 5 stars, and then I'd be sad, and then you should shoot me an email and tell me what we're doing wrong. But 5 stars, people.
Exactly. And I just give us 5 stars. We're pushing through. Come on, guys. 5 stars. So thanks for listening, and we will see you guys next week.
Bye.
Bye.